All right, live from home. This is Red Sea Radio, another episode back on Zoom for the first time in about a year. I'm your host, Kyle Majors, along with Jack Sarasuo. Jack, how's it feel to be back on doing the show from Zoom?
It's not great.
Prefer to be in the studio.
It makes us feel professional that we're doing it from home, though.
Yeah, I know. Nothing's gonna stop us from doing Red Sea Radio, not the new variants or anything.
Not Omicron.
No, so we missed last week's episode. We were a little ill, but we were nothing serious. So we did.
We
miss
had the minor super spreader. We had to Fairfield University.
We had the flu, but we no COVID on our side. So we did have to miss last week. We missed our last studio appearance of the semester, but we're doing it from home, and we got a lot to talk about today. We're recording on Thursday, so right after the Wagner game. So we're a little hot-headed right now.
But, yeah, it was frustrating, for sure.
But, we got a lot to catch up on going backwards. And luckily the Stags have a week off, so we can catch you up on everything we missed. So, let's turn the clock back over 2 weeks ago to talk about Fairfield versus Holy Cross. So Fairfield got the win 74-59. This was at home, Webster Bank Arena. Decent crowd. They had the ugly sweater giveaways, my favorite giveaway of the year. I worked the game, so it's a little tough sometimes when I'm working to really watch the whole time and see what happens. But I know you watched a lot of this game. You took over the ranks on
I watched Twitter. Most of it, yeah.
So
I'll try to
guide this
go
one.
Go through my mental memories to figure out.
So Fairfield, they shot 52% in this one, 23% from three, though. Looked like a poor 3-point shooting night, 71% from the line, 10 turnovers, 14 assists. And basically this game was Fairfield had a big spread going into it, right? Plus
just what, 15 or 14 and a half, I guess, because
I believe they just covered, right?
Yeah.
But this game wasn't anything like the final score reflected for most of the game. It was actually
they were down a half, down like a pretty legit margin at half, five.
Yeah, down five at half. I know, I think it was a 4-point game with 7 minutes left. So it was really close. It was interesting. I really didn't pay a lot of attention. And then by the time I stopped like really working, I think there was 10 minutes left in the game and it was like tied or they were losing. And then from there, right from when I started watching is when they went on their run. So I don't know if there's any, I don't know if there's correlation between me watching and them going on a run or just, it just happened that way. But for me, the part of this game I really watched was the part they did well. So I don't know if you want to talk about like the parts of the games they didn't do so well at, because I didn't really get to see that part too much.
I wish I wrote down like notes of specific plays because it's easier to do when we are kind of caught up, but I just remember them just kind of like struggling like mightily early on. And then you said that at 7 minute mark, I'm looking at the game flow and I kind of remember this. I remember the Allen made three to make it 59-50 with like 6.5 minutes left. And like after that, it was basically like in the bag. Like they kind of just pulled away after that. So it was like they seemed like a kick in the butt at some point. Like that one run.
This was the we were talking about this before we just got on, but it's basically like one of the starts of like the Allen Gene Rose era beginning here at Fairfield. Yeah. So he had 15 in this one, played 23 minutes. And it kind of started a little bit before in the two previous MAC games.
Yeah, I mean they had like him like gain more minutes from time to time. He wasn't getting his like usual like 3 minutes a game, but this is like the first time where he got like started, got legit minutes and really performed like big plays in close games like that.
7 or 8.
The Canisius game kind of as well, but
and he had Supreme Cook 14 points doing his thing. Caleb 11 too. So Caleb's still like at this point doing his part, becoming one of the top scorers on the offense too.
This is a revenge game. We talked about it. Yeah, Major revenge talk game. About it a lot.
I think we mentioned broadcast. That. I think we mentioned that on our last episode we did was that it was gonna be the Caleb revenge game and he got his revenge, 15-point win, and he dropped 11. He had a 3, 4 for 9 from the field. He also had 5 assists, so 3 rebounds too. Pretty solid game for him. Taj, 11 points too. He's someone I kind of want to talk about when we go later into this podcast, because kind of the, you know, I mean, you know what we want to talk about when it comes to Taj.
Yeah.
We'll save it. Chrysler, only 2 points, 10 minutes. Mido, 8 points. TJ, 2 points. TJ is another guy we'll talk about as we go later into this episode too. Wojcik, he actually got 23 minutes in this game, which is kind of a jump up from what we saw before this point. But he only had 5 points in this game, and then Cruz had 6. So pretty, I guess, pretty distributive.
Per usual with the team, but like,
yeah,
I mean, this is like one of their better games. Like at their best, they're doing, this is what their scoring breakdown should look like.
I know it's a live reaction to the episode. You see what Frank just tweeted us? He said, he said, given today's effort, you guys should just pack it in and match their effort. No reason to ruin Christmas. But now we're here. I mean, Frank. I was looking.
We like to talk.
I was looking forward to doing a show because we were supposed to do it yesterday, but I totally forgot. You know, I've been on like a 2-week hangover of sports since NYCFC won the MLS Cup. And I haven't I haven't given much thought to like any other sports since then. I've been on like
I haven't watched like any NBA with like all the COVID stuff. I haven't even tried to watch the NBA. College football, I kind of missed out on. Like,
yeah,
really, the only sports I've been watching has been Fairfield.
I've been on like a 2-week high from that win, and then I had the flu last week, so it was like it wasn't really locked in. But yeah, I'm excited to do this again though. So even though we just had a rough day today, I'm excited to talk about this. All things considered, I guess, you know, it's nice that they got the win from Holy Cross, but it really wasn't as dominant as the final score projects. And I guess
it was a good second half, a good final 10 minutes.
Yeah, and as Frank has been pointing out, we are usually a second half team, as the numbers suggest. Today it didn't really pan out that way, but yeah, I guess it's kind of like foreshadows what we saw going forward into like this week, is that like they didn't really play like that well for most of the game. So while like at this point we were on what, a 3-game winning streak, and like all was well in Stag Country, everyone was happy.
You could tell there were seeds of doubt.
Yeah, and I'm not really sure if there were seeds of doubt though after this game, but maybe there have been.
Like the two Keisha Niagara wins, like obviously they're teams you expect to beat, but it's like MAC opponent. Big wins, like when you beat a MAC opponent on the road by 10, you love that. And then these three, Holy Cross, William Mary, FDU, were all like, they're basically playing D3 schools. I mean, they had combined what, 2 wins this year?
Yeah. I mean, they're 2-8 right now. FDU
was
0-9. Holy Cross is 2-8.
William Mary
right now
was 1-11 or whatever they were when they played them, and Holy Cross was 2-8. So like they had 3 combined wins between the three of them. So it's like, and you have to imagine they should take care of business in those 3 games.
Yeah, and it's like they pulled away at the end, but it's like, again, that trend where in this one, at least for most of the game, where they're playing like equal to the other team, which you don't want that because, I mean, we've kind of seen that. They did beat William & Mary by a ton, and they pretty much no doubt beat FDU by a ton. But with Holy Cross, UMass, and Wagner, you saw again playing to the opponents' skill level, and it hurt us a couple times. So I guess nice to get this win at home and stuff. It was a good atmosphere, but I guess there should have been a little bit of doubt going into this one because it really wasn't as pretty as the final score, you know, projects. So I don't know if you have any other things from this game.
The later games I'll talk about.
Yeah, so
I was gonna say,
then that Sunday, Fairfield beat William & Mary 70-47. You know, we didn't even get to watch this game because it was on Flow. And I hate Flow Hoops.
We don't get Flow where we are.
I hate Flow Hoops. I think that's just a subscription-only website. And I'm not going to subscribe to watch William & Mary, you know. It's just not going to happen. 1-11. We were following on like online and stuff, but you know, just we ain't subscribing to Flow Hoops for this game. They won 70-47. They shot 48%. 35% from three, 69% from the line, which again, the numbers from the line are kind of dipping, and today that really, really hurt us. We'll get into that. But yeah, I mean, 8 turnovers, kind of low for them, 10 assists. They obviously won by, 23. So, pretty no doubt victory here for them. Was this the game? No, this was not the game that Mido led scoring. But
I think he led in the FDU game.
But it's nice to see all the bench guys played. It looks like everyone that was healthy played.
Jason Sivas, Mullaly,
Brown. So Henry, everyone played. Yeah, so everyone that was healthy played. Except for, did Willis not play in this one?
I guess Willis didn't, which is weird.
Yeah, because he missed some minutes.
It could be an injury that he's nursing.
But anyway, yeah, not much for us to talk about here because we didn't watch the game. But, you can see Allen scoring double-digit points, continuing his trend, being one of our top scorers. Caleb, 15 points, being the top scorer on the day. Him and Taj, 15 points. So
4 assists and no turnovers as well.
Yeah, so for the Caleb narratives up, right? The AJ narratives up too. I know you love Caleb, so
I think even after today, he's still up. Like how poorly the team played, I think we were texting about it, that Caleb was still like the most trustworthy guy on the court at most times.
Yeah, he didn't really hurt the team today. You know, he played.
I wouldn't say he stood
solid.
Out, but he had a couple big shots at times.
Yeah,
they thought would possibly change momentum, which obviously ended up didn't happening. But
no one stood out. Well, no one really stood out to be like, yeah, he had a great game, but he didn't hurt the team. And I think that's like a positive in a game where we played really poorly. You know, like
a game where usually
there's going to be multiple people who did hurt the team, and he didn't hurt the team. So I think it's kind of positive.
A game where last year Kale would probably use the scapegoat. It's kind of impossible to. Speak negatively on the game.
Yeah. So, I mean, that was a nice win, but like you pointed out, there's really not a lot of, substance to that win because it's a 1-11 team. You know, as Frank would say, you got to just take – that's just a take-care-of-business game. So
TCOB.
TCOB. So, I mean, you're happy, obviously, but it's not, something you're going to, brag about or anything. It's
you're not telling your friends. Anything. Yeah.
Yeah, so – then we move on. This was when was this game? Wednesday.
This game was on the 12th. Oh, you're talking about?
Oh no, I'm talking about the next FDU. Game. Yeah, so we're moving on. This was last Wednesday, so this was the midst of my flu.
I watched this game. I remember watched on some because I remember texting you about how you were watching it.
Yeah,
you were like, "We forgot." I think you were. Deceased in bed.
I did watch because we got Chili's here at the house, so I had a nice dinner for this game. Nice queso and chips
I had to watch on their poor whatever broadcast
so that's what you were texting me. I think it was on the what is their conference again?
NEC, I think.
Yeah, so it was on the NEC network, but it was only online. You had to stream online. And I remember this was the game that you were texting me. You were finding illegal streams online for it.
I did.
And I was like, wow, it's free. It's already stream it for free. And at I'm surprised they had those.
Yeah, I usually Fayetteville doesn't show up on those those Reddit pages, but I don't know.
They had
found them.
Must have been a slow night for college basketball.
Yeah, it must have been college basketball. Must have been tough that night.
But anyway, last Wednesday, 72-54, Fairfield wins against FDU. That was in New Jersey. They had that nice bouncy house in the background. I was tweeting about it. I was a little jealous. I wish we could have went.
Yeah, but, probably their best performance of the road trip.
There was really never a doubt. There was times where they let FDU
hit a couple shots. They had that
back, but them creeping back was them being down 12.
10. Yeah. It was a consistent 15-point lead.
That was the most they would really creep back to. It wasn't they were down 8 or something, 6.
And
you know?
All their baskets were fluky. It was that guy, which one is it? Oh, Racine. Yeah. 20 minutes, 12 points. He had like a couple like wacky and ones. I remember that like was like the only reason they were even somewhat in the game at one point in the first half.
Yeah, and like I think Rush was supposed to be their best player. He had 10 points, but he wasn't like, you know, overwhelming,
inefficient,
standout. I didn't realize this, that they actually had a kid from St. Joe's FDU.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, they did.
Almanor. Drew was telling me about that.
Yeah, Almanor. Yeah. He's a freshman.
And
this
Drew
year,
was telling me he was like a shooter, and I was like, dude, that guy's like ginormous.
He only played 5 minutes, and he didn't,
he didn't play that much.
But he's a freshman now, so I don't really remember him, but they did win. I think they won the county last year in that same building, so they had a good team. But
yeah, it's the host. That's where like the
that's where Bergen County tournament is. Yeah.
Yeah, Drew was
Jamboree.
The Bergen Jam. Yeah, they were talking about that in the broadcast as well.
Yeah, because I'm sure Taj played there too. He probably played there in the Jamboree. I remember we won it my sophomore year, but we beat Bosco. I don't think Bergen was in it, but I remember going in there and watching it there. But that's always like a nice place. It's always, I mean, it's not a nice arena, but they always have like fun things going on there.
It's pretty big. I mean, frack, they can fit a bouncy house.
Yeah, no, I remember when we were kids, we went there, like our like rec, like Karlstadt rec basketball went there for like to watch a FDU game, and they had like they had like sumo wrestling, like they like put you in a sumo suit and you like wrestle your friend or whatever. They always have some entertaining stuff going on there, and I guess when your team is 0-9 and
you gotta
bring the fans in somehow.
Jackie Moon on semi-pro, get somehow to fill the seats.
Yeah, you gotta fill the seats. So they always got some wacky promotion going on there, but it makes for good entertainment. But the best entertainment in that building was Fairfield that night.
They were entertaining to watch.
It wasn't just like they beat them with like fundamentals. It was very entertaining.
Taj had a great dunk.
Mido had probably a couple dunks at least. 45% from the field, only 18% from three, 5 of 27. So that's not the best to see. And then again,
but I mean, their damage is being done in the paint most of the night. So
yeah, but 55% from the line again, tough number from the line. But 19 assists, 12 turnovers, largest lead of 22, and FDU, according to this, never led the game. So that's kind of how that shaped up. They had this was the one where Mido leads the team 13 points, so add that to the tally.
I think he finished like the NFL, they have like the circle of parity. That's like what the Fairfield just accomplished after that game. I think everyone that like plays consistently officially has led the game
now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think was he the 9th or 10th now? Something like that.
He
had a good game, 6 of 7 from the field. I'm sure majority of those were dunks. He also had 4 rebounds, an assist, a steal. So Taj had 12, 5 of 9 from the field. And you know, with Taj, it's like he's been struggling from three. He's only 1 for 4 from this game, and you know, he's struggled today. I think he had one. He's been struggling from three, but they really need to get him back to driving and, you know, finishing at the rim or getting fouled, or even his mid-range game, which we haven't really seen. We didn't really see it today, I don't think.
We haven't seen since Providence.
We've seen it.
BC,
I think it's dabbled a little bit here and there, but.
But he was. He was consistently doing it those first two games.
Yeah, and like his like turnaround fadeaway,
his floaters, like he was living in that like that elbow area.
And we haven't seen it much. We were talking about that today during the game, but it really, in all of these games, we haven't seen it. And that's where he thrives the most. And, you know, in like a game like FDU, he was able to do it. And obviously it was a little easier there because the team didn't match up skill wise and height wise, but,
I think the lineups haven't been nice to him. I think I mentioned it. I told you earlier. I think the lineups that he's been playing with haven't been the kindest to that play style. Just because I think when he plays with other guys, certain guys, he has to do other things. He's like the most all around player on the team, really. So like he kind of meshes to whoever's on the court with him, and when you put certain players on the court, he has to do things that he's not as good at.
Yeah, like it doesn't play up to his skill. Or it doesn't, yeah, like even when back in the day when he was playing point guard and it wasn't.
Yeah, it's like, it just minimizes like what he's best at, which is like driving and getting to the paint, that free throw line area.
Yeah, so, yeah, this game was kind of like not a great judgment of that because the team wasn't that good, but that's like the type of gameplay we need to see from him against teams like UMass and Wagner, like games that are actually like meaningful and not even meaningful, but games that are actually challenging. And we haven't really seen that in those games, which is kind of alarming. We also saw Makai Willis in this game. We saw Sivas. We saw Jason. So we got some.
Maybe
guys
he wasn't hurt then if he got minutes in this game and not.
Yeah, I don't know.
The game before.
Play in the game before. But, I mean, he's looked pretty good. He had a bucket in this one.
Yeah, I mean, it probably goes. He's probably.
He has steal, too.
I trust him over, like, a Jason or someone in the game. So it's like, I mean, you're hopping all. As a freshman, you're already hopping over a elder forward at your position. So.
Yeah, I mean, it's still weird. Like, Jason. I mean, it's still weird that he started last year in the playoffs and then didn't really even hasn't.
Yeah, and I mean, they were at very – it was a very, like –
low strength.
I mean, it was, like, a very, like, unique situation. Like, they really
– lost Mido and –
yeah, lost Mido. Then they didn't have also blanking. Other big man isn't here. The red shirt last – or the transfer last year. Blanking on his name.
Chef,
yeah. The chef was like barely playing, if at all.
It was a unique situation, but it was just interesting how he had such a big role last year and now he can't even find, like, you know, any
he's already
role.
Getting hopped
but,
over
but
by
there
a
really
freshman.
isn't like really anywhere you could even insert him at this point with Allen playing so well now too.
Yeah,
there really isn't anywhere you could even put him in, but yeah, all around exciting game. They, I think, like we talked about on our last show, it's like when they're playing in games like these, it allows them to actually have like an identity on offense, and it's fun to watch when they're actually confident and they're, you know,
they can run the floor.
Or, yeah, they're taking chances. They're doing things that they probably wouldn't do against UMass or Wagner or in league play against like Iona or someone like that. And it's refreshing when they have like an identity and they take chances and they make highlight reel plays like this. So, yeah,
and
all
this
around
is what it's what out of conference games should be used for. Really, like you have your tough ones, but then you have your tune ups basically.
Yeah, and that's essentially what William and Mary and FDU served as.
Yeah,
and you know, they tuned up going into UMass for an actual challenging game. So we'll move on to that one. So UMass, this is a team that had beat Rutgers, and, you know, Rutgers beat the number one team in the country. So they obviously have somewhat of a real deal to them, UMass. They're 7-5 on the season. They're 6-0 at home. So we're playing them at home. So we knew it was going to be a challenge going into this one. I'm not sure what the spread was going. Was it UMass was -2? So
I think at the by the end of it, they were -2, but they were –
way higher.
It was higher.
Wasn't it 6.5 to start or something?
Down. I think I saw people get it like 4. It was like +4. And I think you got TikTok of that gambling account on TikTok that had Fairfield +4.5 in this game, I think.
Yeah, so, and that covered. So,
so
UMass.
That
yes.
guy covered.
Yeah, so good for him. Not good for us. UMass won 77-73 in overtime. This one I want to spend a little time on because this was an interesting game, and this just happened on Sunday. So, if you look at the game flow, I mean, very very tight game throughout the whole, pretty much the whole game, and Fairfield definitely had their chances.
It was rarely.
Yeah. So both teams
that
shot
late.
Both teams.
They were up late, five points. They were up 5 with a minute.
Yeah, I mean.
Minute 50.
There was multiple crucial points of this game that if Fairfield executed on like any one of those crucial points, they would have won, and they didn't execute on any of those crucial ones. So, you know, like you mentioned, I mean, Allen had a 3-point he's fouled on a three, right? Or he had three shots up by four.
Yeah.
So he could have put us up seven with, like you said, a minute or two left. Could have put us up seven. He missed. I'm not sure if he missed one or two. I think he missed two.
He missed two.
Puts us up five. We had multiple chances to ice it late into the game.
Even the once they had tied it, the final possession was just horrible.
Yeah, so then –
with the final play call.
They
tied
to be on the coaching, right?
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know if it's on Jay Young or they didn't execute correctly or – but it definitely wasn't the shot they planned to have.
Because, I mean, just in general, too, going into that last shot, you have a guy, you know, Jake, who has been very, very cold, who hasn't gotten nearly as many minutes as he used to. He doesn't start anymore. He literally didn't play in a couple games, like, just 2 weeks ago. And now you have him not only once but three different times attempting the final shot of the game. And it's just like – I don't know. I don't know what, like, the thought process was. I don't know if they were trying to will him into, like, making a big play so that his confidence would be turned around. But when you have a chance to win the game like that, I don't really feel like it's a time to experiment and try to get a guy – try to, like, fix a guy's morale.
Yeah.
I think you should just go after the game and try to win it with someone like Allen. Allen at that point had 21 points.
I mean, Allen at that point was, yeah, you're – yeah.
8 of 11.
Or even download a Cook, like – you would think, like, maybe post up Cook.
All you need is someone to get fouled. You score a point, you win.
I mean, that's why I said, because, I mean, A, he's probably the strongest guy, one of the strongest guys on the team, and B, you know he'll make the free throws if he gets there.
Yeah, I think Taj would have been, like, my number two option, but at that moment, with Allen scoring 21, 8 of 11 from the field, you know, and just his whole – part of his – him, not just in this game, but part of his great play in this past couple weeks has been his drive to the rim. Euro step, whatever you got to do. You know, him attacking the rim, Taj attacking the rim, Supreme attacking the rim. That's three different guys.
And even if you want to, basically.
Yeah, and even if you want to draw up a play where one of them attacks and maybe if it's not there, they dump it off to Supreme. So, you know.
Or even like a Caleb, like, pin kick or something. Like, anything that isn't like an isolation to Wojcik, which is basically what it ended up being.
Yeah, so essentially they just kind of let him dribble it out and try to find a shot, and it was a decent shot. It was
like it wasn't like a ridiculous percentage.
Because it was from the elbow, pretty
just
much.
Just that Wojcik. Maybe if it was Wojcik in the MAC tournament last year, I would have more lenient on that shot selection.
He probably would have made it last year too in his.
He probably would have made it. He definitely would have made it, yeah.
But, you know, but it's just like at that point, I mean, we didn't really go through the stats yet, but he only had 5 points, 2 of 9 from the field. This isn't the whole game, so I don't know what he had at that point. But, you know, he's 2 of 9 from the field, 0 for 1 from the line, and just he's had a stretch of 5-point games or 0-point games or not even playing. And, you know, they attempt a shot with him there. And like I said, I think there's at least three other better options they could have went with if it was Allen or Taj or Supreme or any combination of those guys. And, you know, he misses the shot.
And also one more thing is that, like, it's like kind of half joking, but like Taj and Allen both have had experience hitting game winners before. So it's like,
no, that's not
if
even
you remember.
Yeah, that's not even a joke either.
No. I mean, like, they've hit clutch shots before.
That's definitely like a valid point too. That's definitely, like a clutch gene or just the experience that helps, you know, in a situation like that. So it's definitely a valid point too, considering that. But he misses a shot and then it goes out, and we still have the ball with, I think, maybe 0.9.
Well, we were saying the eight and putback.
Yeah, we wanted to see a. Like DeAndre Ayton last year in, what was that, the Western Conference?
Whatever round that was. It was, yeah, something like that.
Something like that with the inbounds play to win it, where it's just up to him and he tips it in. That's something, I mean, I really thought we could have ran something like that. And,
I mean, they've run it before. It's not like it's like a Like, it's like a pretty common play that they run, even like when it's like just a shot clock running down, like not even the actual game clock. Like,
Yeah.
they've run, like they tried to run at least, I should
They
say.
just
I don't think
didn't
they've ever come.
they
They
didn't
did
run
it
it
once in the Providence
well.
game. That was also a sideline out of bounds, not underneath the basket, but.
But still, they didn't even like really run it remotely well this
Yeah, I
game.
mean, with whatever, how much time is left? What is it? What was it? 0.5?
0.9. I think it was point.
0.9? So, I mean,
What? No,
I guess they
maybe it
have.
was 5. I don't know. Whatever it is, it was definitely enough to catch and shoot, though.
Yeah,
Which is
so, I
what,
mean, they
0.3 or
had. It's not like
0.4?
they were forced to run a tip-in play, so like they couldn't. So, I don't know, but
They could have did a
maybe.
catch and shoot too. I think tip and play would have been the best scenario, but they started Mido like
Yeah,
on
they started him out,
like the
right?
left block, and he had to like do this like loop around run to the other side to try to do it. And it didn't seem like the best play. Like they shouldn't have. I feel like they shouldn't have started him there because he had to turn around, run around the top of the key, come around the other side, and try to get it. And then the ball didn't even really go like near him, and they boxed him out and didn't really even let him get near the rim. I feel like just the setup of the play wasn't really. I don't even think the setup set them up to even execute it. I
Yeah,
just
I
think,
mean,
I don't know. I think it
in a
could have been
perfect
drawn
world,
up better.
they screen his guy. He slips through like easily. But I think like, I mean, who do you have screening him? Probably what like Wojcik or someone not that big screening like a big man, and it just like didn't work out. He probably fought over the
It was
screen.
just too much moving pieces too for him to
Yeah.
have to run all the way around the top of the key because at that point everyone knew the ball was going to him.
And Mayo's not the best with contact in the first place, so like having him fight through like basically half their team to try and get to the rim just for a chance to tip it in, it's like
Would have been interesting
bound to
if they
fail.
had Mido and Cook in at the same time for a play like that. That would have been
Helped.
interesting.
I mean, just having two options.
Could have helped. But
Yeah.
obviously that didn't work out. So now you're thinking like at least three chances there to win the game with the Allen free throws that could have iced it. There was also possessions that could have iced it that we didn't really talk about. And then, Jake possession that could have won the game, another possession that could have won the game. Goes to overtime, and then in overtime, pretty close game. And late in that game, we had chances again to tie it. They go to Jake, and he shoots a two instead of shooting a three, down three on like one of the
Yeah, I
last
mean,
possessions.
that is like prime Fairfield.
Yeah.
Just like going for the quick two and hoping for a miss at the free throw line. At times, you just kind of have to play a tie.
Yeah. And, TJ wasn't even really in at that point. He only played 6 minutes in this game. When we really needed three, I mean, I would have liked to see him in there.
Mean, the same problem we had with today, TJ kind of, we needed like points in bunches late and our best three, one of our better top 2 3-point shooter probably
Didn't come in
was
within
on the bench until
until
25
25 seconds
seconds.
left. Yeah. So another blown chance to try to tie the game. And then we get the ball back, and then Chrysler steps out of bounds on the inbounds. Another turnover. It was just like everything went wrong at the end of the game. And it was just like a lot of simple mistakes that didn't have to happen and could have really gave us a chance. And it was so upsetting because it's a good team we played, and we knew we really could have beat them
They
multiple times.
arguably outplayed them.
Yeah, and it's almost like they were handing us the game a few times, and we just handed it right back to them. All those times, five, six, seven times, they gave us a chance to win the game, tie the game, and every
I
time
mean,
we handed it right back to them. So,
being up 5 with 1:50 left, it's like at that point you're counting possessions where like you need like one more stop or one more basket to ice it. So like to continuously not be able to get that one basket, that one stop is like
yeah, and they didn't really,
extremely
they didn't, I
frustrating.
feel like they didn't really manage the clock well either in the right, in the, regular, end of the
Regulation.
game regulation. Yeah, like you said, 1:50 left, you got to run that clock down, and then
You gotta minimize the amount of times they have to score.
yeah, run
Like
the
you have to
clock
like.
down. They should have been driving, honestly, try to get fouled. They wound up fouling out their big man, with a designed play, which was pretty smart, but they did it in the overtime instead of regulation, and at that point it was kind of too late. But they had Mido you know, go into that guy and get him fouled out, but didn't really help us too much at that point in the game. So I don't know. I mean, they were good. They had our old friend Kelly.
Yeah, of course.
Who was
a big three?
He honestly wasn't that impressive.
He was better late, or at his best late.
Yeah, I guess clutch shots was good for him, but for most of the game, he really wasn't that impressive.
I think it was early. Was it early OT at that three or end of regulation? I forget if it was.
I think that was
which side of regulation it was on.
He had two threes. I think he had one right after Allen missed the free throw.
It could have been, yeah.
And then it cut it to like one or two. So, yeah, I mean, timely shots. What's it? I think is it DeSantis on the call that always says it's not about how many shots you hit, it's about when you hit them.
Yeah.
I think he says DeSantis that on every broadcast.
Very.
So.
We are big fans of DeSantis.
So it's pretty much, it was pretty much true in this one. He didn't really hit a lot of shots, Kelly, but he did hit a timely shot. But, yeah, I mean, some of the Fairfield fans were saying it was about as frustrating as the Loyola game because, I mean, Loyola, you knew it was a team that was a lot worse than Fairfield and you should have beat them. But, I mean, we kind of put it behind us already and we've had some good runs since then. But with this one, it's like a good team, a statement win you could have grabbed. And you just threw it away.
On the road, nonetheless.
On the road. It would have been, I think it would have gotten some coverage from, you know, larger outlets. Not like it's
yeah,
not
especially
like
especially with how big, like, how good the MAC is this year with Monmouth and Iona at top. To have, like, a third team that's, like, beating legit basketball schools like a UMass, as well as, like, being, whatever, they would have been 9-3 at this point if they had won that game, like they would have definitely gotten some type of coverage on that.
Yeah.
Or at least the MAC as a whole would have.
It's not like it's obviously not like an Iona beating Bama or it's not like that level of
Monmouth
a win
versus Cincinnati.
It's still a pretty big win for it would be a pretty big win for us. And we would have got I was really waiting to send off that tweet that Fairfield beats UMass, UMass beats Rutgers, Rutgers beats Purdue.
Yeah.
Fairfield's the number one team in the country. Really would have loved to fire off that tweet, but, you know, it's a very, very big missed opportunity. And I know, like, out of conference doesn't really matter, but it's a really big opportunity just to get our names out there on the map and to really be a legit, like, number three in the MAC going into, like, real MAC play. And I think other MAC teams watching us after these couple games are way less scared of us than they were.
Sure. I mean, if you look at, like, when we watch Iona and Monmouth and we see their coverage and we see them beat these teams, like, the players definitely take notice of, like, how other teams are doing in the MAC. And, like, Fairfield, like, being 9-4, 10-3 is a lot more intimidating than being 8-5 with wins over, like, Meg Rivers and Holy Cross and William Mary.
Yeah, and these other schools, I mean, like, these other teams in the MAC, they're actually, like, taking care of business against these, you know, teams, you know, I mean,
UMass would have been like a signature win for them in their conference play.
Like Monmouth just beat Yale. They beat Pitt, who just beat, who'd Pitt beat? Did they beat St. John's?
I think they might have, but I think St. John's had like a ton of COVID cases.
St. John's did beat Monmouth, but, you know, they obviously beat Cincinnati.
Cincinnati.
They're taking care of business against their, you know, these teams, especially those are good teams. They're taking care of business against the teams they should beat. And then obviously Iona, they're sitting at 10-2. They're beating the teams they should beat. Unfortunately, they didn't play Seton Hall this weekend, which would have been nice to see. But yeah, it's just like Fairfield, they could have had a couple extra wins. They could have beat Wagner. They could have beat UMass. Could have beat Loyola. And they could be a two-loss team right now?
They could be right up there with Iona Monmouth. Like, that's like the thing. It's like now, like, we kind of raise our expectations from, like, just trying to be out of that third group and being, like, a tier above it to, like, now we're, like, you're, like, inches away from being, like, in that Iona Monmouth tier if you just, like, literally just did what you, like, you could. You
took care of business.
Capable, like, of doing, yeah.
Beat the teams that you should beat and – you know, UMass wasn't the team that they were necessarily expected to beat, but you have a, you know, a big statement win in front of you and you just blow it. And
when you're up 5 with a minute 50 left, you should be most teams that you're up against.
Yeah. Like, this was for that, sure. I don't know. This was, I think, this is one of my most disappointing losses.
I think pregame, if you said they lost by 4 UMass in overtime, you'd be like, okay. I mean, it's tough. Like, 50-50.
It's just the way
game,
they
like,
lost.
The way they gave up the lead and the way they lost in overtime, it was just so brutal.
Yeah. So we had basically just quick stats in this one. We mentioned the team stats box score wise. I mean, Supreme had 15. Allen had 21. Chrysler had 8. This is kind of this game in Wagner. Chrysler, you know, shot pretty well. He was shot 100% in this game. Caleb had 9. So, you know, not too bad from him. Taj only had 4. So, you know, 2 for 8 on the field. Struggled a bit. Yeah, especially him down the stretch, too, you know?
Yeah, a game where it kind of turned into, like, literally, like 1v1. Like, it was, like, very slow paced. Like, you kind of need, like, your best isolation guy to take over, which is Taj, really, most of the time for us.
And I got to give it to them. They had a pretty good defense. You know, they had a pretty kind of in-your-face
defense. Yeah, for what the score ended up being, it's really not – it wasn't as offensively
Yeah, we had the overtime.
Driven a game. Yeah, true. It's for extra 20 points.
Also, our defense, for the most part, played pretty well, too. I mean, I think UMass averaged like 80 in regulation, something like that. And you know, we held them to, what, 60-something?
Yeah, and I think 65. And then I think it's also like a ton of numbers look worse this year compared to past years just because, I mean, the offense is maximizing possessions. So, like, in turn, you're also maximizing defensive possessions. So, like, obviously you're going to give it more points if you play more possessions. So I think it's just, like, a matter of, like, changing game planning than, like, their defense getting worse.
Yeah.
From, like, last year to this year.
So, I don't know. Mido had 2. TJ. Again, TJ only played 6 minutes in this one. You know, he only attempted 3 shots. It's weird. You know, he's a 2-time. You go 2 weeks ago, he's like a 2-time MAC Rookie of the Week. Tweeting out, you know, just pencil him in for a Rookie of the Year already. And, you know,
he can't even get into the rotation.
Leading the team in scoring, or he's up there. He's hitting deep threes, icing the game against Stony Brook and stuff like that. And now it's just like he can't even get in the game. And it's just weird. I don't know. I just feel like Jae Young's rotations this year have been so inconsistent. And I don't really know why.
I mean, yeah. It started with Jake, like, and now it's kind of lingering over to TJ in terms of minutes. And, I mean, it's good to give Allen his minutes when he deserves it because he's been kind of a trooper.
Yeah,
no, like,
he deserves all the minutes. Allen definitely deserves all the minutes he's been getting. And I'm happy that Jae Young, like, has been flip-floppish with his lineups because it showed us, Allen, that, like, you know, Jae Young last year barely played Allen, and we thought – I mean, going into this year, we thought Allen was kind of almost completely out. You know, we thought that
– I mean, early on with TJ.
Up. Yeah, especially after the first few games, we thought, you know, he kind of got passed up. You know, it's kind of – we always liked Allen, but we thought, you know, he kind of got passed up. And then because his lineups are so inconsistent, Allen found his way in and proved himself, and now he's probably going to start most of the year. But it's just weird because – you know, Allen was out, now he's in. Then Wojcik finds himself playing a lot less minutes. TJ barely plays now. It's been such a weird lineup. And then you had Jalen, before Jalen was hurt, he was getting minutes. So it's like such an inconsistent lineup throughout the season, throughout only like 11 or 12 games, whatever we played, 13 games. It's been like so inconsistent. The lineups changed so much.
And I mean, when you have, what is it, 6 guards, maybe count Allen, 7 guards for 3 spots every game, it's like, it's tough to find like minutes for every single person every single game.
Yeah, I get that. It's just, it's weird because like there's times when we really need 3-point shooters and, you know, TJ still doesn't play. Today I was kind of upset because we were down 8 with like a minute 50 left. And it's, I mean, that's a pretty tough amount of points to come back from, but you got to give yourself a fighting chance. And we had five guys on the court. We had Mido, Allen, Taj, Caleb, Cruz, and none of those guys can really shoot the three well.
Yeah, I mentioned that to you. It was an odd grouping to be out there, those four together. I think I was saying how much it hurt. It was hurting Taj that those four were out there together with no, like, Jake or TJ to kind of break it up in terms of, like, play style-wise.
Yeah, like, because Taj had to be in that role.
Like, Caleb was probably, like, the best shooter on the court at that point.
Yeah, and you don't really want to trust – I mean, you really don't want to trust him taking the three to try to pull you back.
Yeah.
I mean, as much as he's been playing well, you don't want him to be the guy that's taking the three to try to pull you back.
Or even like a Chrysler on the court to, like, just mix, like, just to put some type of three-point shooting out there, just the threat of it.
Yeah, and we didn't have any threat of it at that point. I know we're jumping ahead, but, I mean, we kind of could move on here. I mean, to wrap up the UMass game, it's just so frustrating because, like, the game was ours. Like, you basically could have penciled us in to win the game at, you know, up five with a minute and a half left. Had a chance to go up seven with that much time, and it would have been a huge win. We would have been bragging all over social media. The spirits would have been high, and it probably would have made today's loss feel a lot not as bad, but it's just definitely one of the more frustrating losses of the season just because the way it went down. Like you said, the actual scoreline isn't horrible, but the way it went down was so, so frustrating. Probably worse than losing to Loyola just because they didn't really play bad. Like, against Loyola, it's like just an awful day. They played really bad, but they didn't play bad against UMass. They just really shot themselves in the foot in the most important five or six possessions that they needed to do well in, and that was the, you know, resulted in a loss. So very frustrating, and I don't know. I guess the positive, like we always say, is that it doesn't matter, you know, at a conference, but it definitely matters in the eyes of the fans, and it matters for the morale of the players and for the name of the Fairfield basketball getting out there, getting some publicity. So, oh well, we'll move on. Wagner, Fairfield today, just watched this about an hour ago. So Wagner wins 63-50. Fairfield, I think, was 1 point underdog going into this. Wagner's 6-2 on the season, 3-2 away. They play in the NEC with not NEC, is it NEC, right?
The NEC, I think. Yeah,
They play NEC, Sacred Heart, FDU. So we already beat a couple NEC teams. I think they're saying this might be the team to beat in the NEC. But they really didn't impress me that much today.
No, like, I agree.
Great, you know?
Especially, like, offensively. It was like,
what did they really do well offensively?
They didn't make three-pointers. They missed a ton of layups. It was the free throw line. We fouled a ton, which is horrible because it wasn't necessary because they weren't making their shots anyway. Like, there's no reason to make them earn at the line when you can just force them to make shots, like, just normally.
Yeah, so for Wagner's sake, they shot 40% from the field. They only attempted 7 three-pointers. I think the announcers were saying that they usually attempt more, but they only took 7. They only made 1, so 14%. Basically, the three-point – they made 1. Basically, the three-point shot was not a factor in this game at all for them. 24 points from the line, 24 of 31, 77%. So 24 points from the line. The doubles are points from the line. We had 12. And they out-rebounded us, which – I don't know. I feel like we probably should have won the rebound.
I mean, Cook and Mido had tough games. I mean, Mido was okay offensively, but, I mean, they both got into very bad foul trouble and did not rebound well.
Yeah, and they had 7 assists, 9 turnovers. So then for our sake, we shot 33.3% from the field. So, you know, we're used to seeing this team shoot 50 in the beginning of the season, midway through the season, and they shot 33%. 28% from 3, 6 of 21. I mean, very, very poor numbers. And then 57% from the line. They missed 9 free throw shots. So that's a very big swing for us. Definitely hurt us in a game, you know, that – I mean, we lost by 13, but it was way closer than that. towards the end of the game.
What, 6 or 8 when it started to get out like undone?
Yeah. Once you start, you know, just kind of shooting threes and fouling. But, you know, we had 6 assists, 12 turnovers again, up into the double digits turnovers, 3 steals. We led by 9, our largest lead, but we lost by 13. And that wound up being Wagner's largest lead. So, yeah, I don't know. At halftime, we were down by 4. I thought we were going to win the game at halftime because they didn't impress me. And I thought Fairfield, for that first half, like the biggest thing was that stretch they went that they didn't score for 5, 7 minutes, something like that.
Yeah, and I mean, also it seemed like they were bound to like – the ball is bound to start going in at some point.
Yeah, you got to think like – that's what I thought. You know, they didn't score for 5 or 7 minutes in this first half. That's probably not going to happen again.
And it kind of started to turn that way in the second half at one point. Like, they had that like 6-0 run, 7-0 run that started with Mido, the M1, and he had like the layup and the dunk. They went like a kind of a big run at that point. And then after that, it kind of like the run that was supposed to propel them to a win kind of died.
Yeah, they were up. I'm trying to look at the...
It was like 35-30 or something like that.
Yeah, second half, 34. Yeah, but then...
34-31.
It's like a couple bad plays here and there, a couple turnovers, you know. We had our classic shot clock violation. We had
our 10-second call.
We couldn't advance the ball over the court. Like, these are the plays that just... really can't be happening in like,
especially with a lead
in college basketball. Mm-hmm. I mean, you got to get the ball over the court, you know, in a D1 college basketball game. You can't be.
I will give Wagner credit. Their press was pretty good. Like a lot of teams press against Fairfield, but they kind of break it with some ease. But they were forcing on the inbound. They were forcing the inbounds to go to like a Chrysler, who was like helping up top or helping in the backcourt. And it, like, either A, made their set start late, so like they had less time to shot clock, which led to the shot clock violations, or B, it led to, like, a trap or a violation or something like that. Because, I mean, at least, what, 5, 10 times, we saw Chris or Allen was the one bringing the ball over half court, and it led to, like, a solid 5, 10 seconds of them trying to find Kale to start the set in the first place.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just, like... I guess they kind of had some times where they out-hustled us, but they just – I don't know. They just didn't impress me enough to a point where – I mean, we lost by 13 to this team. They didn't really do much well on offense, like you said. Defensively, they were all right, but they weren't like – they didn't play as well as UMass did on defense. They weren't like crazy defensively sound. It's just that
– it was just a pretty good press. I think once they got the half court, it was pretty normal.
Just a zone.
It just forced them to so many mistakes that press because they started possession so late. Like they had, I think it was back-to-back possessions where and Caleb had a pass like straight to one of the other guys on Wagner. It led to like a easy fast break. And then you had like an Allen travel or a Cruz travel back-to-back. It was just like so many just like boneheaded just
beating
turnovers.
Yourself.
Yeah.
Just beating yourself. Yeah. So, you know, looking at the player stats in this one, Cook had 3 points. Tough night for him, like you said. 1 for 4 from the line as well. 4 fouls, 3 rebounds, 3 turnovers. He didn't really play well at all. I thought he could have had a better impact on this game. But he only played 16 minutes as well.
I mean, they benched him with those 4 fouls and just really never brought him back in.
Yeah, we saw Mido for much longer periods than we saw Cook. And that's another one of those situations. He didn't really play well in this game, so I don't care. But it's like towards the end of that, maybe you just bring him in and let him foul out.
Bring him in until he fouls out and then let Mido finish it off. Because what's the point of
– because if you're sitting him anyway,
yeah, it's like you might as well be fouled out.
Yeah, he might as well have just fouled out.
You're only giving him 4 fouls basically.
Yeah, he essentially fouled out if you're not going to put him back in. So – I don't really care about it this game too much because he wasn't playing well anyway, but it just reminded me of was that Providence that they did that or is it BC?
Yeah, they Cook sat for like a while.
Yeah, I think it was Providence, yeah. So
and then it had – well, that led to like Willis playing, which I wouldn't have minded this game. having Willis get some minutes.
When there was no Mido or Cook.
Yeah, we had a part where it was Chrysler's the five, and it was like, that was where the run happened.
You were telling me about that. You were like, you know, upset about that. You were texting
me. That was where
the
run happened. That kind of ended the game, basically.
Yeah, so then they had, so we had Allen. He only played 15 minutes in this game. It's actually kind of low for him compared to what he's got. He only scored 4 points, 2 for 4 from the field, a couple turnovers, a couple fouls, a couple rebounds. I would have liked to see him drive more in this game. He had a couple drives. I think that might have been his, you know, 4 points, but he wasn't as dominant.
He had one in the second half that was pretty slick.
Yeah, he wasn't as dominant, and he wasn't as aggressive as he was in previous games.
Yeah, he looked just indecisive at times.
Yeah.
He had that one mid-range jump shot that was, like, very reminiscent of, like, Providence.
Like old Allen, right? Because I saw a couple where he had, like, threes. Not that he really attempts threes, but he had a couple wide-open threes where he did that, like, old Allen thing where he would take too long, hesitate, and then do, like, the little pump fake down to the drive where he either, like, turned it over or nothing really happened with it. He did that a couple times today, too.
When he's getting the ball and driving immediately or shooting immediately, or like when he's making quick decisions like that, that's when he's at his best. It's when he holds it and waits and then decides what he's going to do. Yeah, it's a confidence thing and just like a flow of the game thing. Like, I feel like when the offense is excelling, Allen will excel as well. Yeah. And that's where you need like a guy like Taj or Caleb to kind of be that engine that like starts it. Kind of what Woj was last year, I guess, but
yeah, because you also don't really want. I mean, Allen's found himself in this past couple weeks being like almost a go-to guy on offense, and it's. I prefer him to be like the third, third.
I don't want him. I don't want him to get the ball and everyone to be looking around, being like, okay, Allen, you like start the play and
but
kind of fill behind you.
But also, what I was saying too is that like teams. I don't know, teams that are watching like recent film of Fairfield are going to like focus in on him more now because he scored 20 in the last game and he scored a lot. And now they might be like actually focusing in on him and like playing him harder than they were 2 weeks ago when they knew he was like a bench guy that didn't get a lot of minutes. And
yeah, hopefully. And hopefully that leads to openings for the rest of the team.
But for his sake, it's probably going to hurt him. They're probably going to play him better now. And I think that might lead to more. I think we saw him, you know, have a few times this game where he was kind of not like double teamed or two guys would come, you know, help defense on him and he didn't know what to do with it. And it either led to a turnover or 5 seconds off the shot clock. And so I don't know. I'd like it better when he's like the second, third option and, you know, he could do his thing where guys aren't like all up on him. So,
like, yeah, I like it when he's not the instigator of the offense, like when he's like he's the finisher after like a good pass from Caleb or.
Yeah.
So I don't like him being like, I don't like him having unassisted baskets basically, or trying to have an unassisted baskets.
Then we had Chrysler, 18 minutes, 2 for 3 from the field, both 3-pointers, 0 for 1 from the line, a couple rebounds, a couple fouls. He shot well today. You know, he only took 3 shots, but he had that deep three.
And one early and one late.
Yeah, the deep three early. And
rhythm.
Yeah, I mean, that's all we really need from him. He didn't really play, like, poorly. He just kind of did his thing. He got that charge to start the game. He had another one late in the game that looked like a charge.
I think that was a charge, but they were, like, they went to review it. I don't think they were reviewing that.
They were reviewing score. That was a score.
Yeah, because I was going to say, I think they reviewed a basket because at one point earlier in that half, Wagner got a basket that didn't count. So I think they were like adding it back at that point. Like
I think it took them like 10 minutes to like realize that they were missing the score. The score was off.
Because I thought they scored and they didn't move the basket, but I just kind of like let it go because it was like in our favor.
Yeah.
And then they actually ended up coming back and changing it. Because they ended up with the ball after that timeout.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a weird long pause in the game. But so maybe it was a charge then. I don't know what happened there. But I mean, he played better. He played better than he's been playing. So, you know, 6 points from him, two of three from three. We'll take that any day. And the third three he attempted was at the end of the game. It was like a contested three that he had to shoot. That didn't even really count. But Caleb played the whole game today, 4 for 10 from the field, 2 for 5 from three, 1 for 2 from the line, 3 rebounds, a steal, 2 turnovers, 3 fouls, 11 points. We mentioned that he was probably the one of the most solid players today, if not the most solid. He didn't really hurt the team in any way.
Yeah, him or Mido probably were probably the two.
Yeah.
Two best contributors.
But that's good because, like, obviously he's playing really well now, but like you said, like earlier in the year or even last year, Caleb, in ugly games like this, he usually was like one of the scapegoats. And for him to even continue to play well, not just in games that we win by a lot, but to play well in games that we lose, ugly games, that's definitely great to see from him. Because like we said, last year when we were losing these type of games, it was because he had maybe 4 turnovers and no points.
Like he would be like invisible. Like a game like this, he couldn't get any assists going. So like in a usual game last year, he'd have like a basket, a couple rebounds, no assists, 4 turnovers. And you'd be like, why is he even playing? But then when he's like your leading scorer most nights, it's like he becomes like a necessity.
Gives you a reason to keep him out there.
Yeah.
So
it gives you a reason why he plays 40 minutes because he's the only guy consistently putting the ball in the hoop.
Yeah. Then we had Taj, who basically played the whole game. 1 for 5 from the field, 1 for 4 from three, 6 for 6 on the line, 9 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal, 3 fouls, 9 points. So while he had one of the higher scoring tallies, mainly off of free throws, I wish he would have been driving to the hoop, getting fouled the whole game.
Yeah.
Because it worked for the times he did it, but
especially because the refs were being very lenient with the whistle.
Yeah. Very lenient. I think they were saying in the second half, it seemed like they were very, very lenient with the whistle. A lot of touch fouls, but
I mean, both of them were in the double bonus by like the 5 minute mark.
Yeah. So I would have liked to see him take advantage of that more, especially when that's probably Taj's best game is to drive and, you know, he's obviously very strong.
Best attribute.
Yeah. Use his strength. And, you know, we saw 1 for 4 from three, just really, really regressed his 3-point shot this year, which really sucks because it was good last year. And it's almost back to the point where you kind of can't count on him anymore.
Yeah, I mean, there are at least certain spots in the court. I think he's starting to shoot from multiple spots now, which is, like, hurting it. Well, back, like, last year, he was kind of specifically going from, like, the wing to the corner, really.
His corner three this year is really poor, though.
Yeah, he's shooting more from, like, top of the key now, which I don't think is his best – I don't think he's most comfortable with. So I think it's starting to, like, take a toll on the rest of his –
his corner three, I feel zones. Like I haven't seen him make a corner three. I don't even know this season, maybe.
Yeah, I don't think so. It's been tough as 3-point shot.
Maybe
which is why
heart.
It's so weird that they're consistent. Like he's consistently shooting it when he has another outlet. Like it's with Chris, it's like, oh, he can't hit his 3-point shot, but like that's his only game. But with Taj, it's like that's not even like his best part of his games. So why does he only continue to shoot it?
Yeah, and maybe it's because, like you said, though, with the rotations, that might be his only – because, I mean, now he's, like, on the wing out there, and, you know, you got Supreme and Allen down low, or, like, Supreme and Chrisler down low, kind of, like, clogging the lane for him to drive, so he just takes a three instead. But it hasn't really been working for us, so
– it's almost like they're running, like, sets for Woj – like, Wojcik sets for Taj. Because, like, I mean, usually that's Taj's – or that's Wojcik's spot in the lineup. So maybe – I don't know.
Yeah, it's just been
– maybe, like, they're just replacing Wojcik with Taj and running the same sets.
I think, like, between Wojcik and Taj, it's been disappointing this year. But I think Taj might be, like – I don't know if I'd say more disappointing, but I definitely expect a lot more from him this season.
I think the first two games were tough. To see him play the way he did, just to kind of resort back to like sophomore year Taj.
It's just because, like, I mean, last year he was just such a beast, and he got snubbed from all MAC. I don't really know if he even cares about that, but you just thought, like, coming into the season, he chose to be here again. You know, he didn't have to come back here, could have, you know, moved on, and he chose to come back, and you just thought that you were going to get an absolute beast this year. Like, you thought that he would be scoring in upper double digits, or if, you know, I know we do like distributive scoring here, but like, you just thought he would be way more efficient too, not seeing like one for fives or
much more reliable.
Like, if he was going to score nine, you would think that it would be on a lot less shots than
like 2 for 4,
one for five, you know, one for four
on threes. Yeah.
And it's just disappointing because of how really good he was last year and how much he's regressed this year. And there's still a lot of time left. We only played 2 MAC games, so who knows? But it's just, he's disappeared a lot more this year on the court.
Yeah, last year where, like,
our guy
used to make sure he was used to just always be doing something. I mean, the good thing is he still has the rebounding and the passing, but that'll never go away because I think that's just like natural to him. But like, scoring wise, just like the lack of driving is just so odd.
Yeah, I don't know. Definitely wish he could do that more. Hopefully, maybe he listens. Maybe if he's listening out there.
Yeah, maybe he does.
Please drive more if you're listening out there. We need it. And it could be a difference between some of these games. So would have been nice to see more today. Maeda, we played 21 minutes, 4 for 5 from the field. 2 for 5 from the line, kind of is what it is there, though. 1 rebound, 4 fouls, 10 points. Like you said, he was one of the more positive players, him and Caleb, today.
I think offensively he was positive. Defensively, I thought he was – him and Cook kind of
– got bullied a little bit.
Yeah, I think the – what's his name? Which one was it? Fletcher? Yeah, Fletcher. He kind
of
like –
considering most of their points were just in the paint, too, for Wagner.
Yeah, I mean, it was – like, Fletcher's smaller than both of them, and he was kind of, like, just, like, bullying the two of them. And he was, like, visibly smaller than both of them.
Yeah. We had TJ 4 minutes, 0 for 2 from 3, and a foul and a turnover. It's just one of those – it's almost like an Allen stat line now where it's, like,
yeah,
not even enough
nothing happens.
To do anything. Because I don't know if you're expecting him to go in there and bang a couple threes with 4 minutes, but I mean, it's really not enough time to do.
And like, considering the last 21 of those minutes was 25 seconds.
Yeah. It's frustrating. It's really frustrating because I thought he was going to be like a star this year, and then now he hasn't played in the past couple of games. And we've lacked 3-point shooting, and he hasn't played. And
yeah.
I don't know.
That's the most frustrating part, is that like he can fit. If it's the exact need that we have, yet he can't get on the court.
It's so confusing. It's really so confusing why he doesn't play. I don't get it.
And like Wojcik, it makes more sense because like he's in a slump, like a deep slump. So it's like is it even worth having him play when his best attribute is like basically non-existent? But with TJ, like he was shooting well.
It's been like, I feel like Wojcik and TJ are like interchangeable.
Yeah, at this
point. When it comes
to
scoring, but neither of them are really playing that much.
Wojcik surprised. I think I mentioned at one point that it was like so odd how little Wojcik is playing. Like at this point, like Cruz is great on defense. I love Cruz, but like at times you might just have to like, he might be the one that loses some minutes.
Well, that's the thing. Like, he kind of has grabbed all of their minutes, TJ and Wojcik.
Cruz went from being like a 12 to 15 minute player to now being like almost starters minutes off the bench. So it's like when you lose those minutes.
He's grabbing a lot of their minutes. And like you said, I mean, he's been good this year. But sometimes when Cruz and Allen play together, it's just kind of not really beneficial for the offense.
It's just they do the same thing, really. Like, they're really very similar players. So it's like they both drive. They both are very hesitant to shoot.
Well, yeah.
And they both kind of live like they're at their best when they're in the paint, like clogging up space. But when you have two of those guys both doing it, it's like kind of pointless.
Because the majority the main lineup that Jae Young's been going with, obviously aside from starting, he'll have, you know, Cook, Allen, Caleb, Taj, and Cruz. But I'd really love to see Cook, Allen, Caleb, Taj, and Jake or TJ, and then have Allen and Cruz be interchangeable.
Yeah, I would love it if those two. And also, I mean, this also could contribute to that Chrysler played 18 minutes today instead of, like, the usual, like, 10-ish around that he's been playing recently.
He played well, yeah.
No, he played well. I'm not saying he didn't, but it's just, like, that also contributed to, like, the lack of minutes for Long and Wojcik.
Yeah, because what you really love is, like, so you have Cook and Mido. You love them to be interchangeable. And then you would love Allen and Cruz to be splitting time. And then TJ and Jake to be splitting time. And then Caleb and Taj pretty much play most of the game. And then obviously...
Yeah, Chrysler, then you have those three Chrysler's spots kind of rotate.
Yeah, and Chrysler's getting his minutes too. But we really haven't seen TJ or Jake play much. I mean, Jake had 22 minutes today, but he really didn't play important minutes. He wasn't really in there for like some of the important minutes in those runs. So that's kind of what was most disappointing. But... I don't even know how long this has been. It's now. It's weird not being in the studio. This could be like a super long episode. This could be like, it could be a short episode. I don't really know. I think to wrap up Wagner, just really frustrating because they were not impressive really at all. They didn't really do anything well on offense. They basically beat us with layups and defense, I guess, or us not shooting well.
They had a couple jump shots, whole mid-range jump shots that they hit, but very rarely.
You know, we averaged, 70 plus, and we scored 50 too, so it's like...
Yeah, probably the worst offensive performance we've had all year. I mean, have they scored less than 50 all year?
I don't think so.
Maybe, I don't know, the BC game was semi-high scoring, I think. Yeah, 64 against BC. 64 against BC was
the lowest
output.
They haven't even come close to 50, yeah.
64 was their worst before that.
Yeah. So, just an all-around disappointing game, and it really hurts going into MAC play, losing two in a row that
it's tough
two in a row
off.
That, like, feel winnable too, you know? UMass was obviously very winnable, and Wagner, to me, still felt winnable because of the fact that we just played awful, you know?
And they were up late in the second half. It's not like they were fighting back all game. Like, they were...
Yeah, 13 points definitely does not reflect how the game went, and it was winnable. And if they just played like a little bit better, they probably would have won. Like, they played really bad on offense and free throws and everything. So very frustrating, very tough way to go into Christmas. So so now they got a week off. They play next Friday. They play Manhattan on Friday and Iona that Sunday. So we're going to do that next episode because we got, you know, we'll record next week and we'll do a preview of those. I'll be up there. I'll be working probably Manhattan because I got to work before New Year's. So I'll probably work the women's game Thursday, Manhattan Friday. Get to see my friend Steve Masiello running up and down the court complaining and making sure his players dance on the sideline instead of, you know, coaching his team.
Yeah, it'll be a fun game. Yeah. A fun warm-up for Iona.
Well, I'm talking about Manhattan, but...
No, I'm saying fun rivalry game.
Oh, a warm-up. A warm-up leading it. Yeah, for sure. And I really hope we beat Manhattan because you know how we feel about Masiello.
Hopefully it lights a little fire under Jake.
Yeah, I hope there's some fire. I hope there's fire within the team, you know? Like...
Yeah,
we've seen Cook get fired up this year and stuff. We haven't really seen them get fired up in a couple games though.
A little bit of Taj, not Taj towards the other team, but Taj internally with the other players
getting fired up after like a big play or something like that.
Yeah,
I feel like we haven't seen it as much.
That ups the intensity.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying fight the other team, but just like, just like. You know, unless it comes down to that, but like, if we have to, but I'm not saying like openly fight the other team, but like just having some fire, and just some like care of like protecting home court and stuff like that too. Like,
I mean, it's sports, so, like you have to have that kind of
yeah
anger
But we haven't seen it much. We haven't seen it really much in the past couple weeks. And I know it's at a conference. There's no, like, rivalries, really.
Yeah, but, I mean, Providence is, like, a very unique case, like, such a big school, like, very similar schools.
That just
and
beat
they
us
play
by
every
40.
Year, so it's like.
Yeah.
And it was close to that point.
There's no, like, rivalry with UMass or Wagner or.
And also, I have to imagine the crowd kind of plays in that, like, play, like, a packed gym versus, like, a crazy good school. It's like. Get you kind of your juices flowing a little more semi-empty gym,
but yeah. So I'll be working that
That's why
one.
We got a packet for Iona.
Yeah. So Sunday. So Iona. I mean, we'll talk about it next week. But Iona will be there. I'm probably gonna just. I'm gonna go to that one as a fan, not a worker. So I wanna.
I wanna be there as well.
I wanna get a nice seat for that one. We'll be up, all of our friends will be up there.
Yeah,
we're making sure all of our friends go to that one, and we try to. I know it's Christmas break, so it's tough. There won't be a lot of students there, but we're going to try to do our part in packing
that crowd
a little bit.
Yeah.
Hopefully there'll be some other people, some listeners out there. I know there'll be definitely a lot of Fairfield people that listen to this will probably be there. And I know the Mac Hoops guy on Twitter, I think, said he's going, right?
Yeah, he mentioned it, I think.
Yeah, the guy who covers Mac on Twitter. So I think it's kind of a – It's definitely, I think, definitely before these past two games, it was an exciting game on people's calendars. But
still be exciting, especially if they beat Manhattan 3-0 MAC teams. That's
that is
the favorite
true.
Iona has always been a rivalry. Like
day after New Year's, what's better?
Championship rematch,
arena, championship rematch. So yeah, I'm really excited to go to that one as a fan. We'll be there. We'll get a little rowdy. We'll keep it PG, but we'll get rowdy. Our old friend Rick. Our old friend.
Old pal.
Rick, coaching the.
Maybe we can get the Nelly Jr. Joseph's head.
Oh, yeah. We definitely got. We'll respectfully get in their
head. In their head.
Yeah. We got to make. We should bring a sign or something. We should make a signs or something.
We should make signs.
I'd be down.
We'll do some research into them.
Yeah. If anyone has any suggestions. If anyone else has suggestions, tweet us or. If anyone wants to get rowdy.
Who they're dating, what's their sister's name.
If anyone out there wants to get rowdy for that January 2nd game, let us know. We'll be there. Maybe we'll meet some of our longtime Twitter friends at the game. So I'm very excited for that one. And I know you are too. And our friends are actually excited too. So that'll be fun. But for now, we got to wait a week. I think we had a solid episode from home. I know it's tough sometimes to do it from home because I can't see you. So I don't know, like, when you're talking versus when I'm talking. And I know it breaks
up a little
bit. But
a little
it's still harder. Nice to do the show. You know, better than nothing. So that's great. I think that's pretty much it. Do you have anything else?
We'll wait till next week to talk about. Wait till next week to preview those games.
We'll do our research. We'll preview Manhattan and Iona next week and get into the MAC thick schedule. So, everyone listening, have a great Merry Christmas. I hope all of our listeners have a great Christmas and get some nice Stags gear under the tree this year. And hopefully Santa brings us a nice winning team going into the MAC schedule. And we'll be back next week. I don't know where we're going to record, Wednesday or Thursday, but we'll be around. And as always, follow us on Twitter. We had Stags Bingo today. So we'll have to, you might be in charge of that next Friday if I'm working Stags Bingo. So we didn't get Bingo today. We came kind of.
No, we almost did.
We almost did. We were lacking a couple things here and there, but if you want to play along, follow us on Twitter at Red Sea Radio. And that's going to do it for us for Red Sea Radio at home. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Have a Merry Christmas, and we will see you next week. And we'll leave you off with, as always, saying Go Stags.